Ramsey TV.
I've got a new complaint on the roads today. Well, it didn't start today. I've had this complaint for a long time. I've just never shared it with you. I think you already know my main complaint. Excuse me. I think you already know my main complaint, and that is when people are on the interstates, when people are on a four-lane, they don't know how to pass only in the passing lane, that left lane. No one should be just driving around like you're on a relaxing Sunday drive with your family in the left lane. The only business you have being in the left lane whatsoever, excuse me, what the hell, is if you are passing. Otherwise, get the hell in the right lane. If you're going to putt-putt out there, get in the right lane. Otherwise, you can box up traffic for a mile. I've seen people driving side by side. One person in the right lane, who's the correct person, and the person in the left lane is driving right beside the person in the right lane. Traffic backed up behind them. If you're in the left lane, pass and get the hell out. And pass with authority, by the way. Pass with authority. Now, my second beef, and this is related to my topic of being artless for evil, or should I say naive for evil. My second beef is when people pull up to red lights, they don't pull all the way up to the person in front of them. You should see, be able to see the bumper of the person in front of you. You shouldn't pull so close that you can't see their bumper. But you shouldn't be so far away that there's a freaking half a football field between you and the car in front of you. But I see this all the time. It's like people need their space so that they can text their friends and their relatives, their grandmothers, their congresspeople, their bankers. And so they pull up like 30 yards behind the car in front of them at a stoplight. I need my space to text. I don't want to be too close to the car ahead of me. What if I'm so busy texting my congresswoman that my car lurches ahead? In the meantime, you're screwing all the people behind you because they're lined up probably blocking intersections because you are not pulling up to the car in front of you. And the line of traffic then is way longer than it needs to be. It's like 10 car lengths longer than it needs to be because morons are out there not pulling up close enough. And this really is irritating me. But Clyde Pilkington wrote an excellent Daily Goodies on January 18th. And it's related to this topic. It's called Naive Concerning Evil. And I see the value of this. This is so good. We are not supposed to be experts on evil. You see, I'm becoming an expert on evil. I'm telling you how evil the world is. And it's irritating me, and it's taking away my peace, and maybe I have to stop driving. I don't know. I don't see how this situation goes away. You say, well, just change your attitude, Martin. Yeah, that's easier said than done. I'm going to read Clyde's article here. I complimented him on it. I wrote him, and I said, wow, this is a great truth. I've never been fully aware of it. I've never been fully aware of this. This verse has been in the Bible for a long time. In the book of Romans, I must have commented on it. This is from, what passage is this? In Romans 16:19. I wrote a whole commentary on the book of Romans, so I must have commented on this passage, but I just don't remember it. I'm going to look up my own teaching on this, see what I have to say. I said, great truth. I've never been fully aware of it. Thank you for the elucidation. I'd like to throw that word around whenever I can. Clyde answered and said, you are welcome, dear brother. It was a long lesson for me from my past. And this is what he has to say. In the early part of my life, I was an activist. And the causes that beckoned for my attention were endless. I was consumed with the words world's evil, error, and conspiracy. And of course, with my duty to expose it. What I would eventually learn is that there is no end to the evil to be uncovered and exposed, and that the small portion of evil that we can perceive with all of our earnest efforts of investigation is merely the tip of the iceberg. In every area of human endeavor, including, I might add, highway driving and residential street driving. Things are far worse than any of us can possibly even imagine. Wow. Try to think of that. What else are people doing in neighborhood driving? What else are people doing on the interstates that I haven't even noticed that are stupider than lollygagging in the left lane? It's hard to imagine that there's things I have not even imagined. The road down which I was headed, see, glides onto the road. He sees the evil on the highways and byways of America. The road down which I was headed was one of great spiritual distraction. That is the truth. And were it not for the arresting grace of God that saved me from such diversion, only He knows where I would be today. There's more to this, but I want to comment here so far and say that I agree that we are not to focus on the evils of the world. But sometimes as scriptural commentators, as spiritual commentators, we have to address these things. But it's one thing to address them. It's another thing to become experts in the evil, to dissect the evil, to try, look hard, uncover more evil. It's a never-ending opportunity. You know, you could do it, but Paul doesn't recommend it, Clyde doesn't recommend it, and I do not recommend it. And we're going to see the exact word Paul uses in Romans 16:19. I'm going to look up my own teaching on this and what Paul has to say about whether or not we should concentrate on evil. Let's continue with Clyde Pilkington's article in Daily Email Goodies from January 18th, 2020. A passage that God used to begin to correct my course and focus is Romans 16:19. And here it is from the vaunted, not King James Version. Quote, I would have you wise unto which is good, that which is good, and simple concerning evil. This is Paul in the King James Version. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Clyde commenting here, in this passage, Paul makes two sets of contrasts, good and evil, wise and simple. Paul's desire was that we be experts in goodness, but simpletons in evil. And that is the New English Bible, experts in goodness. We'll be able to talk all day on good things, but when it comes to evil things, we're simpletons. I don't know, is something bad happening out there? Our first reaction is like, oh, come on. You know, when you tell somebody something that's terrible happening in the world, did you hear about that earthquake in Tibet? And people say, no, earthquake in Tibet. And then our first reaction is, what are you living in a cave? You haven't heard of the earthquake in Tibet? What the hell is wrong with you? But I say, God bless you for not knowing about the earthquake in Tibet. You're a simpleton concerning evil. You know, I've heard that there's only so much you can absorb. And there's things that happen to people in the world. Only so much of it can actually affect you. Because if you took on yourself, and this is possible today, to take on yourself, the conglomerate evil of the world because of the news, because of the 24-hour news cycle, you could really bury yourself in grief because of the world's ills that are dumped on you every 24 hours, or more often, of course, in the news cycle. But you can only take so much of that. Only things that happen to the people in your immediate vicinity affect you, or should affect you. Because if you took personally those poor people in Tibet, this is hypothetical, but I hope there's not an earthquake in Tibet, but I'm sure there has been. But if you take this, I'm sure there have been Sherpas in Tibet who have died on Mount Everest. Probably not during earthquakes, probably during ice falls. But if you could somehow personalize evils that happens to people you don't even know, such as the Tibetans in the earthquake or the ice fall, in the case of the Sherpas, how could you survive? How could you survive if you were absorbing everything that happened to everybody? God has purposely said sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. And I'm adding this part, but I'm implying it, I think maybe Jesus implied it, is that the evils that touch your life. I'm suggesting to you that Jesus was saying, sufficient are the unto the day are the evils that touch your life. Because in that day, nobody knew the evils that were happening in Tibet. Nobody within earshot of Jesus' announcement there knew anything about the earthquake in Tibet or the flood in Indonesia, the tsunami in Tokyo, because there weren't news cameras everywhere on the frickin' planet. So that was a blessing. And they've done studies. Who they are, I don't know, but I will find out. No, see, that would not be what I'm telling you. To find out who said this, what I'm about to tell you, that would be a pursuit of evil, really. They have reported that the human psyche can only be concerned about people in your immediate vicinity. Like, we're not able to properly mourn for the Tibetans who are in the earthquake. They're too far away. They're too removed from our circle. And that is a safety valve. A safety valve given us by God that we can only care for a certain amount of people. And when you start to expand that, people feel this pressure at Christmas time, right? I mean, when I was married with kids, that was my world. And I could only really care for my wife and my kids. And I thought I was doing great for that. But there are people in this world who expect you to care for this broadening circle. And I'm not saying, of course, you don't care for your grandparents and your parents. Of course, you do. But at Christmas time, you have to care about the mailman. You have to care about the paper boy. You have to care about your dentist. You have to care about your dentist's secretary. You have to care about your boss. You have to care about so many things you're expected to care about. This is why people are under so much pressure at Christmas time. And then when they're driving to get their gifts for people, they end up pulling up behind people at stoplights who are parked five car lengths farther away from the car in front of them that they should be, causing that person to block an intersection. People are honking at them. This is tragedy. And all this care, all this worry, because our circle of concern, our circle of care has been artificially enlarged because of the expectations of the world. Well, you got to get them Christmas cards. You got to buy them a box of nuts. You got to buy them a bag of chocolates, or they're going to think they're going to think you hate them. So all this expectation. And this is evil. I think it's all evil. And we're to be naive concerning evil. Like, well, I don't know about their problems. Why don't you know about their problems? Because it's my 10th cousin, 8 times removed, and they live in Jakarta, or they live in Antarctica, and I just can't care about them. Aren't you going to send them a Christmas card? No, I'm not going to send them a Christmas card, or a Valentine, or a birthday card. I'm sorry to my friends out there, even to my intimates in the body of Christ, I don't know your birthday. I'm not going to send, I promise you, I will not send you a birthday card. And then people send me birthday cards, and I'm thinking, that's nice. I love it. I love it when people remember my birthday. People have sent me birthday cards, and I'm stunned that they know it's my birthday. And your first reaction is, I wonder what their birthday is. I should reciprocate. No. That's where you're mistaken. No, you don't have to reciprocate. Because if it's not in you, then it would be an evil pursuit. It would bring stress and evil into your life. Am I getting off topic? I don't think so. I could be. It's possible that I'm getting off topic, but that's all right. I think it's what I've said so far has been helpful. Clyde goes on, quoting the New English Bible here. I'll repeat that again. In this passage, Paul makes two sets of contrasts, good and evil, wise and simple. Paul's desire was that we be experts in goodness, but simpletons in evil. I continue. The Greek word sophos, translated wise in the King James Version, that's the Greek word sophos. You get from that the word sophisticated. The Greek word sophos is also translated as well-versed. The reference here is a TCNT. What the hell the TCNT is, I don't know. I'll have to ask Clyde next time I talk to him. And experts, Moffat translation. Thus, our area of expertise in which we are well-versed is that which is good. That's where our proficiency is to be. I would not have any of you and myself to be proficient in the ways of evil. doesn't mean you are evil. You can be proficient in the ways of evil without being evil yourself. You just become an expert in everything that's wrong. As Clyde said, he used to be into conspiracies. Many people I know are into conspiracy theories. And it's one thing to study things that are happening, to study things that are real. But the conspiracy theories, in many cases, are fake anyway. They're not even real. So people like that are chasing figments of their own imagination. It's bad enough to chase actual evils, but then to invent evils and to chase those, that is not being simple in the ways of evil. That is looking hard to find more evil if possible. I need more evil. How evil does this get? And I want to uncover the layers of evil, because surely there are layers upon the layers of evil, and I need to find them. Why? No, you don't. Paul says, become naive about those things. Become stupid in the ways of evil. This is a great truth. Clyde goes on, the CV, that is the Concordant Version, renders the phrase as artless for evil. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, uses that same word artless in Matthew 10:16. I'm going to get to that here in a second. The CV renders the phrase as artless for evil. Artless is that which lacks knowledge, naive being one of its synonyms. While we are to be experts concerning good, we are to be naive concerning evil. Or as the Bible in basic English translates it, quote, without knowledge. Of course, this is not literally true, without knowledge. Of course, we have knowledge of evil, but it's like without. The suggestion here, I believe, is like without a detailed, overwhelming knowledge of evil. If you want to know about evil, go ask Martin Zender. I don't want anybody to say that about me. It's like, if you want to know about all the conspiracy theories, don't go to Martin Zender because he's stupid when it comes to this. And people have said that of me. Martin, you don't know about these conspiracy theories, you idiot. Thank you. I'm naive about the conspiracy theories. Although I do have theory about conspiracy theories, and I'm going to share that with you soon. There's a simple way to know what's a conspiracy theory and what's true. And I'm going to share that with you just to help you discern what's real and what's not, to keep you from evil. So the New English Bible, I wish you to be experts in goodness, simpletons in evil. Clyde finishes this way. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, my mom used to have a magnet on the refrigerator. She had many magnets on the refrigerator. One particular magnet comes to my mind at this time. And it said this, quote, if you can be at peace in this time, perhaps you just don't understand the situation. It's funny. I think that was in the 60s. Must have been the late 60s when that magnet was on our refrigerator at my home in Canton, Ohio. If you can be, I'm paraphrasing it, it's close. If you can be at peace, this is it, yeah. If you can be at peace in times like these, perhaps you just don't understand the situation. It's like, if you can walk around this life with a smile on your face, you must not know what the hell's going on. And Paul would say, good for you for not knowing what's going on. And maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the secret. I really need to learn from this. I would have you to be wise for good and simple, or stupid, or naive concerning evil. This is our apostle telling us this. Innocent concerning evil. Artless. Evil? What evil? I don't see any evil. Why, you stupid idiot. That's the kind of thing we're supposed to be. And Paul's sparing us. He's trying to help us. We're resistant. No, Paul, don't worry. We'll keep up with all the evil. Don't worry. No, we're resisting this great advice. So if you don't know what's going on in the world, man, I commend you. Paul plainly tells us that we live in the present evil age. This is the last paragraph, Galatians 1:4. Young's literal translation. Got it. Now, this is still Clyde. We move on from the vain bankruptcy of this age to, quote, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, Romans 11:33, to the, quote, exceeding riches of his grace. These are things we're supposed to be experts in. Ephesians 1:7, to the unsearchable, supposed to be untraceable in the Concordant Version, the untraceable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3:8, to, quote, the riches of his glory, Ephesians 3:16, to, quote, the riches of the glory of this mystery. It's supposed to be secret. I don't know why he's not quoting the Concordant version there. Colossians 1:27. And unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the secret of God. I'm translating correctly in my head there and giving it to you. And the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Clyde ends with this. After all, quote, where sin abounded, grace did superabound. So sin definitely abounds in the world, but we are to be ignorant of that. But the grace, we're not to be ignorant of that. I'll close with Matthew 10:16. This is another place in the scriptures where the word artless is used. Artless. What is the exact Greek word? I looked it up, but I think it's akarios or something. The elements, I do know, unblended, artless, become artless for evil, as the Concordant version says. Naive. The English elements of the Greek word are unblended. So, of course, you figure you're mixing up, picture yourself mixing up a cake batter, and you pour some vanilla into it, and you stir it up, and for a while, you see the vanilla swirl in there. You can distinguish the vanilla from the rest of the batter. But after a while, when you mix it up, it's indistinguishable. We don't want this to happen to us. We don't want our pursuit of knowledge of evil to be indistinguishable from the rest of our lives. We need to keep our Christ life. We need to keep ourselves, let's just say that, because I don't put any difference between a Christ life and any other kind of life, but our lives should be unblended with evil. It doesn't mean we're not touched by it. It doesn't mean we don't have some of it in us ourselves, but we're not to blend with it in the sense that we study it, that we need to know more about it, that we need to uncover darker and darker corners of the world so that we can become fully conversant in the ways of evil. So that when people ask us, what's the latest evil thing in the world, that we can expound upon it for hours. Let me tell you just how evil this world is. You don't realize how evil this world is. Let me tell you, don't you understand? People say that to me all the time. So I think for the most part, I'm giving myself the benefit of the doubt. I am artless concerning evil, because I don't know how many times people have said to me, you don't know about this. You don't know what's going on. You don't know about this conspiracy. You don't know about this. You don't know about this. I'm like, what? I'm an innocent boy. I know nothing of these things. Haha. Not always the case, but that's the ideal. Matthew 10:16. You're familiar with this verse. Jesus to his disciples, lo, I am dispatching you a sheep in the midst of wolves. How nice. Thank you, Jesus. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Appreciate that. Great. That sounds like fun. Become then, in other words, since you are sheep in the midst of wolves, wolves become prudent as serpents and artless as doves. So we got to be smart about it, prudent as serpents. And I'm thinking upon reading this verse that part of being prudent as a serpent is being artless as a dove. A dove flies around in the evil world. A dove is a symbol of peace, right? It just flies around. It's probably going to get shot out of the air by a BB gun. Or a semi-automatic weapon, probably. But the dove doesn't know that. The dove doesn't care. It's like my dog Charles. He's naive concerning evil. If he gets loose in the front yard, he'll run right across the street. He's really stupid when it comes down to traffic. He has no idea what it is. He doesn't know that people park farther away from the car in front of him that they should. Charles has no idea, bless his soul, that people lollygag in the left lanes of the of I-95 out here. He doesn't know that. God bless him. And he doesn't know that if a car should hit him, he would die of terrible traumatic injuries. Doesn't know that. So he just runs out in the road. He's very artless concerning evil, Charles is. So Jesus is telling us, and there's a proper mix here. You do want to be wise as a serpent, which Charles is not. And at the same time that you're wise as a serpent, or I should say part of being wise as a serpent is being artless or naive or stupid, simple-minded concerning evil. Where's our focus? That's the question. Is our focus on discovering all the bad things that are happening in the world, new layers of darkness, or is our focus to be in discovering new aspects of grace, new aspects of goodness, whatever so things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Boy, that'd be great. I might even start doing it.